owner. I challenged you last week to go and read through the book of Jonah. I hope that you did that. And I want you to hold your place here and go back. Tonight, I really don't think that I'll preach. I don't know. I say that sometimes, and I do. I want to teach you some things. And so I want to move slowly, and I want you to follow along, because I do believe that the book of Jonah, all of the Bible is important. But as you hold your place here in the book of Jonah, go to Matthew chapter number 12. We looked at this last week, and I want us to understand why Jesus made the statement that he made, our Lord Jesus, made the statement that he made in Matthew 12 when the Jewish people, who are a people of signs, they want signs, they constantly ask for signs. And so he told them in Matthew 12, he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And so we'll pick up our reading in verse number 38. Matthew chapter 12 in verse number 38. I want to read down through verse number 40. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message, okay? Let's stand to our feet. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 38 through 40 for the scripture reading. You follow along as I read. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, you know what you brought to my mind and my study. And I pray that you would help me to deliver what you gave to me to your people. And so I need your help to do that. And I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I could do it adequately. And I pray you'd fill every person that's under the sound of my voice, whether they be here in the sanctuary, whether they be joining us through YouTube, live stream, in whatever way they're joining us, I pray you'd fill them with the Holy Spirit. Give us listening hearts. Give us understanding hearts, that we could know what the prophecy is that's given here by the Lord Jesus. And may it be clear to our minds as we complete our study, or this portion of our study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Now, we go back to the book of Jonah, and I want you to remember that the Lord Jesus, you know, so the setting is kind of this. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they never wanted to accept Jesus' word alone. They always wanted to see more. And it's kind of like our day. I mean, really, isn't it? I mean, you're talking to people and they say, well, you know, well, prove this or prove that, or I need more. And they're just always wanting to see or to know more than just what Jesus said. But brethren, the final authority is the word of God. Now, whether we accept it or not, whether we understand it or not, that's on us. God has given us everything we need. He's given us his word. There is the Holy Spirit, and then if you're not saved, the Spirit of God, he will draw you, he will convict you, he will even give you the gift of faith so that you can receive salvation, so that your eyes can be open to the kingdom and the things of the kingdom, and you can have understanding of the word of God. So God's given us everything we need, but man doesn't want to accept what God has given. Man wants to come up, as we shall see here, man wants to come up with his own methods and with his own ways. So Jesus told these Jews, he said, listen, there's no sign going to be given you but the sign of Jonas the prophet. And so now we come to the book of Jonah, and I want to just kind of walk through some of these verses in chapter 1. And we'll just take our time, all right? Now, the Bible says this, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, let's just stop right there. Immediately, when you get into this book, you see that Jesus, when he said that there's no sign going to be given you, immediately right here, notice what the scripture says. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Now I don't know how the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The Bible doesn't say. I just know that the word of the Lord came unto him. It could have been in a vision. Could have been in a dream. It could have been in an audible voice. God spoke to people audibly. It could have been through what's called a theophany. God could have made a personal appearance to Jonah. I don't know how, and I really don't think it's important how. I just know that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Not the word of a man, not hearsay. God's word came to Jonah, and I want you to know what it says. He came to Jonah, and he said, arise and go and preach. Cry out. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. So he kind of commissioned Jonah. He said, I've got a new task for you. Now, Jonah was a prophet. And don't forget that. This is not somebody that doesn't know what he's doing, that doesn't know God, that doesn't know God's dealings. When you read over in 2 Kings, you find where Jonah had prophesied correctly on at least one occasion, and he gained the favor of the people. And so Jonah was a prophet. He had favor with God and the people, but something happened. And I think we're kind of tuned into it with the commission that he's given. But before we get too deep into the commission, I want us to look at the man himself, okay? We're going to look at the commission, the call that he received, because all of us have received this call. Every person, if you're saved, God has something for you to do. And we have the same choice that Jonah had, and that is we can either do what God said or we can do what we want to do. It really just comes down to that. Now, we can tag every kind of excuse on that, you know, but it just comes down to I'm either going to do what God said to do, which is a commandment. God commanded Jonah to do this. Read it again with me, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, and cry against it. That's not, that there is nothing suggestive about that. That is commandment. This is what I want you to do. There's no plan B. There's no other option. This is what I want you to do. But before we get to that, I want us to look at this. The name Jonah means dove. So immediately, when it says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the Hebrew people knew that names had meaning and names had messages. It's just like the Lord Jesus. That's why when Jesus was born, they said his name should be called Emmanuel. They knew. Listen, when Matthew wrote that, he knew these people are going to know what this means. Which be it interpreted is God with us. They knew. And so when these Jewish people, when they named people with significance. So the significance of Jonah's name, think with me for a moment, okay? Dove. You know when the first mention of the dove is in the Bible? The dove is it's a harmless bird. It's a bird of peace. When Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him as a dove. It's harmless. It's a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of judgment no longer. When Noah was on the ark in Genesis chapter 8, he sent out the dove. This is the first mention, Genesis chapter 8. You read through your Bible, the first mention of the dove is in Genesis 8, Noah sent out the dove. All right? The dove comes back. What did he have? Somebody tell me. An olive branch, which was what? A sign of the flood waters have descended. The judgment is no longer impending. Right? That's what Jonah's name means. It's dove, which is a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of judgment being passed. And so God called this man and said, I want you to go to this wicked, this sinful people, but I want you to go as a man of peace. I want you to go with a message. See, that was good news. When Noah sent that dove out, and that dove brought back good news. And that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Good news. What is the good news? 1 Corinthians 15. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture.
and how that he was buried, and that how he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And Jesus said, I'm not going to give you any sign except for the sign of Jonas the prophet. And the man's very name is a hint to the good news. But it doesn't end there. There's another significance to the dove. In the law of the offerings, when the offerings were commanded to be given, they could bring heifers and calves and goats and sheep and bulls. But if you were very poor, you were allowed by law to bring doves. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to turn there, but in Luke chapter 2, that's exactly what Joseph and Mary brought when they took Jesus into the temple after the days of her purification, and they offered. It was turtle doves. It was. Because God made an allowance for poor people. See, again, here is the significance. He became poor that we, through his poverty, might be rich. It's just, you know, when you're looking at when Jesus told these Jewish people, I'm just sure that these things were going through their mind. They knew these laws. They knew these laws. They knew. And so then you look at when it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Look at what it says after that. His name means dove. There's certainly significance. I believe it's deeper than what I've even told you. But now read on what it says. The son of Amittai said, you know what the word Amittai means? Truth. Faithful. Look it up. So here is a man that is the son of absolute truth, of faithfulness. I just don't know how, if you know these things and you're reading it, you're thinking, man, this guy, if the Jews left that meeting with Jesus that day and went back to their scripture and read about Jonah, their wheels had to be turning. If they wanted to know the truth. If they wanted to know the truth. The problem is, a lot of times with people, is we don't want to know the truth. We want to know what's good for us. What's good for me? So that I can do what I want to do without making too many changes in my life. We don't want radical change in our life. But we need radical change in our life, you see. And God knows that. And we don't want that. And that's why we kind of pick and choose, or we search out what we want instead of wanting truth. The glad day in my life is when I said, you know, I want truth. Pure, unadulterated truth. If it fits me, good. If it doesn't fit me, good. I just want to know the truth, because it's the truth that'll make you free. Amen. And so you start out this book, and immediately, you don't even get out of verse 1, and immediately there's a hint to where God's saying, hey, I've got some good news for you. Here's a man of some good news. His name's Jonah, and it's in his name. But it's not only in his name, it's in his commission. Look what he was commissioned to do. Get up, rise up. Now, I don't know if Jonah was laying down, I don't know if he was sitting down, but I know this. When God has to tell you to get up, that's not really a good sign. Arise. And then he had to tell him, go and preach. When you have to tell a prophet, a preacher, get up, go and preach, something's not right. Something's not right. Can I tell you, though, before you're too hard on preachers, that God's told you the same thing. God has commissioned every one of us as Christians to get up, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. So the same commission that God has given Jonah, in a sense, he's given us. And he says, listen, I want you to get up. I don't know what happened with Jonah. I don't know. I know this. We all can slip into this phase that I believe Jonah was in. And we'll see in a moment why I believe this. I believe I can prove it from the scripture. He'd kind of gotten cold. He was indifferent. He was backslid. He just didn't care. You know, it's almost like he was happy with where he was in life. You know, I prophesied a little. I brought about some good things, and I'm pretty good. I feel good about that. But there was a lot of work yet to do, right? And so God said, Jonah, you're not through. When you get through, I'll take you home. But you still have something to do. Brethren, can I tell you that's where God has us right now? God's not through with you. Please don't think whether you're old or you can't get around as well as you used to, or you can't do the things as well or as often as you used to. Don't think, well, God must be through with me. Well, he may be in one phase, but God always has something for us to do. When God gets through with us, God's taking us home, brethren. You do know that. I know you know this. But see, Jonah knew some things too. But he allowed some things to kind of slip in. So God went to Jonah and he said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, do you think Jonah knew about the wickedness of Nineveh? Absolutely. Read the book of Nahum. Yeah. It's called that bloody city. The Ninevites hated the Israelites, who hated the Ninevites. The Ninevites were these were a savage people. They impaled, the history tells us they impaled Israelites and their enemies, not just Israelites, but any enemy, and they would kind of put them around the walls of their city, and they would use them there as sources of intimidation, to intimidate people. That would be kind of intimidating. And so before you just think that Jonah just said, as we read on down in verse number 3, but Jonah rose up to flee to flee into Tarshish. There's a reason for that. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying there's a reason behind Jonah's response. God said, hey, Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh and cry out against it, because their wickedness has come up before me. They're wicked, Jonah, and they need to hear a message from me, and I want you to deliver it. It's just like our world today. We live in a wicked world, and they need to hear a message, and God says, I choose you to deliver it. Now rise and go and preach. That's what he's saying. So as we get to this part, it's like, well, this is us, and it's not really the message of the Lord Jesus, but let's read on. So then you get down and it says, but Jonah rose up. Listen, anytime a verse begins with the word but, that's kind of a negative. So Jonah, God said, do this, and then it says in verse number 3, but Jonah. Look in verse number 4, but the Lord. God, please don't think that you're going to just turn away from God and God's going to let you go your way. And I'm glad God doesn't. Now, I've done some stupid stuff in my life. And if you would be honest with yourself, you have to. One of the silliest things I've done in my life is I've come to a place to where I felt like, God, I just wish you would just let that alone, you know, in my life. Just leave it alone. But I don't want God to leave it alone. And I'm glad God doesn't leave me to myself. I'm glad when I butt God, God butts me back. Amen. And the Bible says that God told Jonah, Jonah, you get up and you go. And it says, but Jonah. But Jonah what? But Jonah said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I have a plan for my life. And we heard it Sunday night. You can have a plan for your life. And you might think it's the best. But your plan is not God's plan. And God's plan is better than your plan. God's plan is better than my plan. And so, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now remember when I said, Jonah's a prophet, okay? Jonah's a prophet. Jonah knows you can't outrun God, all right? Just like doctors know you can't outrun a virus. But they'll try to tell you to do this and that. You can't outrun a virus. You can't outrun God either. Where are you going to go where God's not? Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. You think Jonah really in his heart thought he could get away from God? Jonah knew he wasn't going to get away from God. He knew there was nowhere he could go where God was not. He knew God was omnipresent. He knew that if he made his bed in hell, God would be there. Jonah knew these things. He was a prophet of God. I believe Jonah thought, you know what, I'm going to turn in my resignation and God's going to accept it. I'm just going to quit. And that way God won't hold this over me. I got to tell you something, brethren. When God has a work for you to do, you can quit 100 times, but you're going to do that work or wish you would have. That's right. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into the pit, down into it, to go into them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, Dr. Ron Comfort years ago used to preach a message on Jonah. And I'll never forget the first time I heard him preach it. It's not long after we got saved. And I remember him saying this: when you go in a different direction than what God's told you to go, there's only one direction to go, and that's down. I want you to notice this in verse number 3. He went out from the presence of the Lord, and right in the middle of the verse says he went down to Joppa. Then in verse, the latter part of verse number 3 says he went down into it. Look at verse number 5, the last portion of that says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. If you look in verse number 15, they took Jonah up and cast him forth into the sea. You think when they cast him into the sea, he went down into the sea? I know he did from chapter 2. And then when you read in verse number 17, it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah up. You think when that fish swallowed Jonah up, he went down into his gut and belly? I know he did, because in chapter number 2, he prayed out of it. If you'll read in chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Jonah said that. So what's happening with Jonah? Jonah is doing what every Christian does when he says, I'm going to go my way. Now, I know God said go this way, but now I'm different. Now, here's what a lot of people think. I've done it, you've done it, but it's a lie of the devil. Well, that's going to be different for me. My situation is going to be different. Jonah no doubt thought my situation is going to be different. God told me to go here, but I'm going to go here, and I'm going to be okay. And no doubt Jonah did what a lot of us have done in our lives. It must be God's will. There just so happens to be a boat going in the direction that I want to go in. And I've got the money to pay the fare. It's got to be God's will. Things are coming together. Can I tell you, I don't care how many times and how good things come together, when we're not doing what God said do, it's not right. It's not right. You can try to make yourself. I can try to pretend. I can try to fool myself. I can try to lie to myself and deceive myself, thinking that it's right. But I'm here to tell you, when it is in direct opposition and disobedience to what God is saying, God's not going to bless it. And there's only one way for a disobedient Christian to go, and that is down. And Jonah went down. Now, when Jonah gets on the boat, he went down, the scripture says in Jonah chapter number 1, he got on the boat, but the Lord done something. I really like this. In verse number 4, the Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Did you notice that God didn't come to Jonah and say to Jonah, you didn't do what I said do. God seemed to have a short leash with Jonah. I think sometimes we presume upon the grace and mercy of God and just think that God owes us 2, 3, 4, 5 chances. God went to Jonah and he said, Jonah, now I want you to listen to me now. He said, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. And Jonah said, I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Now maybe Jonah was accustomed to God saying, now Jonah, I said I want you to do this. The second time. And he does come back and speak to him the second time, but not before he put him through the ringer. Are you listening to me? You say, well, God won't put me through the ringer. Well, sure he will. Who told you that God wouldn't put you through the ringer? They're lying to you. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So please don't try to make yourself believe something's not so. That God's not going to judge your disobedience, and God's not going to judge us for doing our way instead of his way. Yes, God does judge sin. Amen. And disobedience. And God doesn't have to give us a second chance or a third or a fourth. Amen, church? Right. And somehow we've gotten this message to where we think, well, you know what? I'll just kick back and I'll do what I want to do and God's grace will be sufficient for me. Well, you know what? God is a God of grace and I praise God for it. But your next step might not be God's grace. It may be God's judgment. And so please don't presume upon God's grace. I think we make a bad mistake. Thank God for His grace, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But now don't presume upon it and think God owes you that. He doesn't. And so when God went to Jonah and He spoke to him and Jonah didn't do it, I want you to notice what verse number 4 says. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. God went from His word to His works. And God said, I'm going to stir some things up for Jonah. Jonah's in a stupor. Jonah's cold and indifferent. Jonah's callous. Jonah doesn't care about them Ninevites. Jonah doesn't realize he needs those Ninevites as much as those Ninevites need him. You see, God knows how to bring those things together, doesn't He, brethren? He does. Jonah thought, well, those Ninevites really need me, but I'm not going. What Jonah failed to know is, no, Jonah, you need those Ninevites too. Your heart has become so callous. You become so comfortable. You become so full of yourself. You need to see a people that are in their sin and that's in the clutches of doom and judgment so that you can remember where you were when God found you. And so this is not just about helping them, Jonah. This is going to help you. Aren't you glad God's will does that? Aren't you glad that God's will helps you and others? So the Bible says that God sent out some works. Sent out a great wind. The sea was tempestuous. The ship was broken. God sent a big fish. I mean, there was a lot of things going on. God was at work. It said in verse number 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. God was at work. Now, God's word ought to be enough. But when we do not respond obediently to God's word, God's works might get into action, and I mean His disciplinary works. And God got the discipline in Jonah. I'm convinced after all these years in the ministry that there are many, many people that have done what Jonah. God had something for them to do, and they said, you know what, I think I'm going to do this. And they're just living under the chastisement of God. There may be somebody here tonight. I don't know. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just telling you what my experience as a pastor and my knowledge of this book. It just, God chastens those that He loves. And He's not going to just let us go our way. I'm glad God came after Jonah. I'm glad God came after Jonah. Now, the Bible says in verse number 4 that the ship that Jonah got on was like to be broken. Now, this is where the story picks up, so I want you to fasten your seatbelt. I mean, it picks up big time right here, okay? So Jonah is on the ship, and this ship is, I don't know how big the ship was. It obviously was a cargo ship. There was a lot of cargo on the ship. We'll see that here in just a moment. There was a lot of workers, a lot of mariners on the ship. And Jonah gets on the ship, and this is what helps me to know. Jonah was way away from God. Jonah wasn't on the ship. Listen, not only did Jonah not care about those Ninevites, he didn't care about those mariners. He didn't care. He didn't tell them about his God. But now, before we get too hard on Jonah, when's the last time you told someone about your God? You see. Well, it's easy to look at these prophets and say, man, Jonah should have went to Nineveh. Well, have you gone to a community and told them about Jesus recently? Well, Jonah should have, he could have at least said something to the mariners on the ship, preacher. Well, have you told somebody in the canteen where you work or the break room, or have you told a group of people about Jesus? Well, don't be hard on Jonah now if you're not willing to do it. Is that right, church? Speaking to myself, too. And so the Bible says he got on the ship. And the ship was like, the latter part of verse number 4 says, it was like to be broken. I'm going to tell you, that's pretty serious stuff right there. I mean, when the winds are howling and the storm's beating down on you, and those men, the Bible says in verse number 5, those mariners were afraid, brethren. These are men of the sea. These are not just people who's used to traveling, you know, the mountain way or the Jericho Road. These are men of the sea. These are mariners. These are skilled people. And when skilled people get scared, that's like the pilot getting scared when you're in a plane. It's time to get serious. We're in trouble now. And so when the mariners on a boat get scared, the passengers probably should get concerned. Amen. You think Jonah was concerned? The Bible says in verse number 5, Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Well, he sure did have a burden, didn't he? He had a burden. These guys up here crying out to their God. Look at verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. They were just saying, we've got to do whatever. We're going to take whatever measures we need to take to save ourselves. And they were crying out to God. They were throwing, look at it in verse number 5. They were casting forth the wires that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. They started throwing cargo over the side of the boat. Wires and saying, man, this is life or death situation here. And Jonah's down there just catching some Z's. Man, I tell you, that is a picture of a lot of Christians in our day. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. And they're on the side of the ship just sleeping away. People dying all around us going to hell. And we just seem like, oh, well, you know. It's a serious thing. And so God told the Jews, he said, listen, he said, I'm not going to give you a sign. He said, but it'd probably be good if you read the book of Jonah. You said, well, you're paraphrasing. I am. You need to read the book of Jonah. Because there's a great message in the book of Jonah that you need to get. What's it for us, preacher? Well, I have a lot more I could say, but I'm going to bring this to a close. I want to show you what happens in our lives when we get backslidden. We lie to ourselves. We lie to others. We deceive ourselves. We try to deceive God. We're just not honest with ourselves. And Jonah wasn't honest with himself. God told Jonah, I have something for you to do. Can I ask you a question? Has God told you what he had for you to do? I know some things that God has told all of us to do. But now God has something specifically for you and I to do too. And so I just want to encourage you, know what that is and do it. And don't think that God is going to be okay with you not doing it. Don't think that's going to happen, because it's not. God wasn't okay with Jonah not doing it, and God's not going to be okay with you not doing it. The second thing is, do you have a burden for people? There are so many twists here. Jonah's patriotism outweighed his spiritual duty. The Ninevites hated the Jews. Jonah was a Jew. And I'm convinced that that's why he didn't go to Nineveh. Nineveh was vicious toward his countrymen. And Jonah was a patriotic countryman, but a disobedient servant. I don't want to be that. But I have to fight that. How about you? I have to fight that. Then the scripture says that the shipmaster, in verse number 6, came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think of us, that we perish not. Man, come on. You need to be praying. These people are saying, man, you call on your God. You need to get to praying. I wonder if the world ever thinks that about the church. And the church used to pray. The church needs to get to praying. These are lost people. And they're saying, man of God, you need to get to praying. You need to get a hold of your God. We're in trouble here. And the scripture says in verse number 7, and they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Verse number 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee. And they just rapid fired these questions. For sake of time, I'm not going to go through them, but here's what I want you to know about this. You know you're backslid when there's more questions than answers. You know you're backslid. Question after question after question. John offered no answers. He only invoked more questions. When our lives invoke more questions than gives answers, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And that's exactly, you read this, I mean, they were just rapid firing one after the next. Question, question, question. What's going on with you? What's this? What's this? What's this? And then something happened. God takes this backslidden prophet. Now, I said I was going to talk to you about grace, and I'm going to close it with grace. God takes this backslidden prophet, and he makes a beautiful picture of his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can God do that? Well, you know what? God's a God of grace that way. I'm amazed that God uses fallen, frail, sinful men. I mean, you think about David. God said, that's a man after my own heart. David was a liar, an adulterer, and a murderer. And yet God used him as a great picture of the shepherd king of Israel and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's one right here. Here's a prophet who said, I'm not going to do what you said, God. And God said, when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, they said, we want to see a sign. And you say, I bet he's going to mention Abraham. I bet he'll mention Moses. He said, I'm not going to give you a sign except the prophet Jonas. That's grace, brethren. It ought to amaze us all that God would use us to do anything. I thought about this before I came to church tonight. God, I'm amazed that you would use me to preach your word. I'm amazed. How dare me to say no to God? How dare us to tell God we've got a better way or we want to do it another way? After all God's done for us, and here's Jonah, after all God's done for him, and I'm not going to do that. God still used him. Now, brother, you're talking about grace. That's grace. What happened, preacher? Well, do you see it? Look at verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Why? Because they thought they were going to die. They were all under judgment. God sent this storm that was breaking this ship up. Why did God do that? Because one man, now don't miss this, one man was disobedient. And so the judgment was on this one man, but it was on everyone else too. Does that sound familiar? When Adam disobeyed God, the judgment was on this one man. But because of this one man's disobedience, we all are under the curse of sin. And that is exactly what the book of Jonah is saying. Jonah disobeyed God, and the judgment was fallen on every man in the boat. Can I tell you, on this old ship of life, the judgment of Adam has fallen on all of us. We're under the curse. We're in the boat, brethren. And I'm going to tell you something. Before the remedy was found, the boat was breaking up, and we were racing toward the cliffs of the rock. We were racing toward the jagged edge. We were racing toward the reefs. We were going down, brother. I mean, judgment was coming. Just like here. And you know what we thought we could do? Look at what they did in verse number 5. The mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wires that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. We can do this. This is what they were saying. We can do this. And so they started getting rid of stuff. I'll just cast over a pack of cigarettes. I'll cast that alcohol out. I'll quit that line. I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff overboard, and that's going to save the ship. No, it's not. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what Jesus was saying when he said, hey, you need to read the book of Jonas? Because humanity, as that boatload of mariners, thought they could save themselves. They thought they could right the ship. We're going to cast some stuff overboard, and that's going to bring the ship home safely. No, it's not. No, it's not. Didn't we try that? Remember when you tried to do better? You ever talk to people and they said, you know I need to go to church, and I think I'm going to start doing better. That's it. That's it. I've drank my last drink. I've smoked my last joint. I've popped my last pill. I've told my last lie. I've done my last evil deed. I'm a changed man. I'm reforming my life. Hey, religion reforms. That's not what man needs. Man doesn't need to cast stuff aside. Man needs to cast himself at the foot of the cross. Come to Jesus. I'm going to throw it over. Throwing it over is not going to do it. And then they came to Jonah, and look, if you would, in verse number 11, and they said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us?" They had to ask the man, "What can we do?" Man, I wish some people start asking me, "What must I do to be saved?" Amen. It's our place to tell them. Jonah should have been telling these people. But they did ask, thank God. What did he tell them? Look what he said. He said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you." Isn't that interesting? So he said, "Listen, I'm the cause. You throw me overboard, the ship's going to be all right." That sound familiar? If Jonah getting out of the boat was what was going to save the boat, why didn't he just run and jump off? Just run and jump overboard. Because it had to be by the hands of others. Because Jonah is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not a martyr. Okay? He didn't take his life. His life was taken by others and for others. And so he said, you've got, look at it again, verse number 12. God doesn't add or take words. God puts exactly what he wants in there. He says, you've got to take me up and cast me forth. You've got to do it. You, the ones that are afraid, the ones that are under judgment, you have to realize, you have to be responsible for my death. Isn't that something? That God would put that in that book. You've got to be responsible for my death. It's not until you realize you're responsible for the death of Jesus Christ that you're ready to be saved. So, well, the Jews did it. The Romans did it. No, you did it. I did it. Our sin is what nailed him to the tree, brethren. Right? And so he said, you take me up and cast me into the sea. And then he said, then it'll be calm to you. And I want, this will be my last point. I am amazed at this. This is amazing to me. So they're scared out of their wits. I mean, the ship in verse 4 is about to be broken. They're just crying out to their God. I could just hear them screaming. I believe it was mass chaos. The winds were howling, and they were trying to chunk stuff overboard, and they were screaming out orders and crying out to their God, and just, I mean, mass chaos. They run over to Jonah. "Jonah, you know, what are we going to do?" He said, "Well, just take me up and throw me overboard, and that'll bring calm to the sea." You would have thought before he got it out of his mouth, they'd have picked him up and chunked him over. Amen. I mean, I believe I'd have done that. But you know what? It's easy to say what you would have done when you're not there. What did they do? The same thing we do. Once somebody tells us, if you will trust Jesus as your personal Savior, you can be saved and your sin can be forgiven and you can have peace with God. And you say, "Oh, that sounds great. Let's do it right now." No, not usually. We do like these people. Look at verse number 13. Look at that first word, nevertheless. That's not funny, but it is. It's just like man, isn't it? Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. We can do this. We can still do it, right? Our works, we can do it. Just keep going, guys. Work harder, right? We can save the ship. Let's just keep rowing, row, 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 row. But the man said, "Throw him overboard. Row, 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 row." I remember when I found out that Jesus would save me. In the back of my mind, I kept thinking, "I'm not going to be able to do this." It's like the Spirit of God said, "Are you listening? Are you hearing what's being told you? What do you mean you don't think you can do this? They're telling you about somebody who's already done it. It's already done. Quit thinking you've got to do it. Salvation's already done. It's already been purchased. It's finished, right?" That's what these men were doing. Rowing hard, boy, just rowing, rowing. I'm not making light of that. That's actually sad. It's sad because that's the world we live in. It is. The old devil's got people deceived. The storms are raging. Brethren, let's stand to our feet. The storms are raging. I mean raging. And people think, "Well, I've got life figured out. I'm like a sea mariner. I know how to sail the seas. I know the waters around here. I know a thing or two about life, and I've got this thing down." And then the storm comes. I mean the big storm, the God-sent storm. The man thinks he's got it. And so he thinks, well, I'll just lighten the load and get rid of a few things, and it'll appease me and make me feel better, and it'll calm the storm somewhat. But it doesn't, does it? It doesn't. And then they hear the truth. Realize you're responsible. Put your hand upon the cause of the death of the Son of God. Admit that your sin is what nailed him to the tree. Know that he was your substitute, and that by his death you can have peace and calm. And then we say, nevertheless. And we keep trying our way. What happens, preacher? Well, we'll pick up on it next week. What happens to that group of men? What happens to that situation? It's fascinating. It really is. And I hope you'll go home and read it. And we'll come back next week, the Lord willing. We'll study it further. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the truths of your Word. I pray you'd help us, Lord, that as we navigate through the book of Jonah, that we would realize that there's a special message in this book, a message that was identified by the Lord Jesus himself when he was here upon this earth, a sign. And I pray that we not only know the history of the book, the history of the prophet, the call, the history of the whole city of Nineveh being converted, the lessons that are to be learned in the book that we can apply to our lives, that we would see the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we are quiet before you in this moment, speak to our hearts. God, help us not to lay down on the job. Help us to arise. Help us not to become fickle, hardened, cowardly. In this world that's under the storm of judgment, we have the answer. God, help us to obey the call, to obey the commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Help us to do our part, not only across the seas, but across the streets. And help this church to be a lighthouse in this community. And I pray that many people in this community would know that we are a praying people, and that we have the answer to the storms of life, and his name is Jesus. God, help us. Help us to have that testimony in this community. In Jesus' name.